Let this word be sweet in our ears, Lord. So we continue with, what is so amazing about grace? Now I sound like there's an echo in my head here. As the metal plate from the Boer War. Are we okay? We can fix it. Are we good? Okay. Does it sound good? Not echoey? All right. What? So this, a firm foundation, that's what we want to talk about today. A firm foundation. And the picture that I've used, I took when we were in Israel, and that is the foundations of Solomon's palace in Israel. And you see foundations that have stood the test of time. And we need to have good foundations that will stand the test of time and have stood the test of time. And so today, because I've got a lot of scripture I want to try and get through, I thought I'd just put it up on the PowerPoint and we'll read it together when we get to the PowerPoint, because there's just too many to turn in your Bible. But I want to start off with understanding and being excited that Moses was given the law, Jesus brought or realized or released grace and truth to us. Today I want to drill down a little bit better into foundations. And you can ask any architect, before you build, you have to have good foundations, you have to have good drawings. And any construction worker knows that you have to have a good foundation before you can build on. I remember that when I first got saved, I was so hungry for the word, so hungry for the gospel, that I thought, well, what should I do? So I just listened to every preach that I thought people were preaching the Bible, and I found out that some of them were not. We should be careful what foundation we lay. Secondly, I thought, I have no idea why. Maybe some of you did it too. The minute I got saved, I thought, I better go to the book of Revelation and see what happens in the end. So I went and I got a video series by a person. And I started to listen to their series on the book of Revelation. And 10 minutes into it, I thought, this is stupid. I haven't a clue what she's talking about. And I didn't have a sense that this was good. And I found out afterwards she has a little bit of a off-style theology. Here I'm looking at the 23rd floor and I haven't gone and inspected to see what's in the basement yet. And we need to be careful and make sure that we find out what's in the basement before we go to the 23rd floor, as I tried to do. And perhaps a lot of you try to do that as well. Biblically, there are good doctrines. There are sound doctrines. There are interesting, titillating topics, and there are nice knowledges that we need to understand and look at. But the thing is that most of that stuff is not going to change our salvation. It's going to give us knowledge. It'll give us understanding to know how tall Goliath was, how young David was. That's all nice knowledge. It's not going to help us with our salvation and our liberty and freedom in Jesus Christ. We don't get our foundations right, it will have a huge impact upon us. How many times have you gone through life, and I know I can cite case after case after case, where I sit down with people and they say, yes, but the Bible says this, and this is how we should do it. And I say, where in the Bible does it say that? And they go, I'm not sure. I say, okay, well, why do you think that? He says, well, that's what I was taught. Be good Bereans, I said last week. We need to know what the Word of God says. We need to be scholars of the Scripture. Amen, Mark. So every time I think you should say amen, I'm going to say it, okay? So I'm going to have to, obviously, get you to argue with me. When we see scripturally, I don't mean that. Because I know some of you are so keen to do that. Scripturally, we need to understand that foundations were laid by apostles and prophets. And some people have said, yeah, but the apostles and prophets no longer live. Well, that's not what the Bible says. And a friend of mine said, people believe they petered out with Peter. But they didn't. We have a number in Ephesians 4, and Michael used it this morning, and Chris nearly half preached my sermon. Dom brought words. I mean, it's just exciting to hear what's going on, that everything's happening and it's going all around here, and I'm just like, okay, well, should I just delete that and leave that out and add this in? And anyway, In Ephesians 4, he says that he gave to the church, men and women, he gave to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, when I count five. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But we're so excited about Evangelist Eddie, and we're so excited about Pastor Pete, and we're so excited about Teacher Tim, and we've ignored Apostle and Prophet. Stop it. We need to understand old dispensation and new dispensation. There are pre-ascension apostles, and there were. They were very important. There were 12 of them. 12, the number of divine government. They will one day sit and they will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. They will be the foundation of the new Jerusalem. That was pre-ascension. And then Jesus died, and there was a new dispensation. And when he left, he said, I'm not going to leave you alone, as he did in the commission. He said, I'm going to send you gifts to the church. And that's why we're excited just to punt it again, to have Kier and Kelly coming, because they are a gift to our church. And we need to understand that in our head. They're not a guest speaker. They come with something in their hearts of a life lived and tried. And if you read the back thing, I've done a little bit of endorsement, because when we hand it out, we don't want people to just say, well, who's this guy? Yeah, international speaker, what's the big deal? No, I know his life. I know his testimony. I've been with him. We've ministered together. And when he comes as the gift to us, and I know I'm going right off topic here. People then, well, because he goes and he ministers and he holds crusade, well, he's just an evangelist. I want to declare to you that Kier is way more than just an evangelist. We planted churches. We've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open, and the lame walk. We've ministered into the context. We've seen villages change completely. Because a baby that was unconscious for 2 years, when we preached the gospel that night, woke up the next morning. And sometimes we want to see all the flash and the thunder and the lightning. And actual fact, it's not. It's in a quiet young girl being healed. Unless she came and told us, we'd all just carry on and, well, I don't know. Because you don't feel the move of the Holy Spirit means it doesn't mean he's not moving. It means you've dialed out. I should get back to where I am. Yeah, I'm going. Okay. Matthew 11 verse 12 and in Luke 16, you can go and read it. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Well, what does that mean? And I know some people have really taken that scripture and twisted it around, meaning something totally different. And what it really means is exactly what it says and not what we want it to mean. It says that the kingdom of heaven from the days of John the Baptist has suffered violence. John the Baptist, the precursor, the inaugurator of the kingdom, and the kingdom that was suffering violence. He was arrested by Herod Antipas and he was executed. The kingdom that he was inaugurating was suffering violence. And violent men try to take hold of it. And we think, no, we're going to be violent. We're going to take the kingdom. No, we're not. We're going to live in the grace of God and we're going to help expand the kingdom of God. For all the prophets and the law until, and including John. John inaugurates the kingdom. The one who announces the Christ of grace and truth. He comes and he opens the door. It was as if he was into eternity, opening a curtain for the people of the time to peer through and say, wow, look at what the kingdom's going to look like. Thereafter, we have the post-ascension apostles. Paul was not a disciple. He was not part of the original 12. So where does he come from then? Peter was there, and that's why because Peter was original 12, long story, too long to go through it all. Go and check it out for yourselves. But we have the post-ascension in Ephesians 4, and it's fivefold, not threefold. And we're comfortable. And then God does an interesting little work in that scripture which we don't read properly. Remember, I'm just laying a firm foundation right now. And then it goes and it says, and to the church he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And then he says, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, which means we all got to do the ministry together. And then he throws in a little word there that most people bypass because they want their own theology. And it says, until. Until what? He says, until we are mature in Christ and in our understanding of the full knowledge of the Son of God. This is like a big road trip. What happens on a road trip with the kids? The kids on the road trip, what do they say? Are we there yet? So my question is, this is a big road trip because speaking about eternity. The question is, are we there yet? And the answer is, no. So we still function and live in until we attain maturity and we have a full knowledge of the Son of God. And then he goes on to say, another two little words, so that we won't be like children who are tossed to and fro on a wild ocean with every wind of doctrine, every human cunning, every philosophy and cult that come up, every craftiness in deceitful schemes. This is strong language. False teachers and false doctrines and things that are skewed. Someone said this morning, let our view of Jesus not be skewed. Let our view not be skewed of Jesus. So that we can reach maturity. So that we can be unified in our faith. And that's why I love so much to connect with the other pastors in the city. So that we can be unified in our faith. And of course we have some doctrinal differences. But it's not heaven and hell issues. And then it says, secondly, so that we may grow up into him. Jesus, who is the head of the church. He wants us to realize and mature and grow up and understand the new dispensation that we live in. I've been saying these words for a long time and I'm going to keep on saying them until I understand them. And hopefully you too. You know, when we see the apostles and prophets, they lay foundations when you build the church. And what happens is that then it comes along and we see that other people want to come and build other stuff. And we're going to talk about that just now. But we have to understand that when Paul said, I am the lowest of the lowest. He gives this great pedigree about himself and then says, but for all of that, for the sake of Jesus Christ, I counted but rubbish. In some Bibles, in some it says, dung. We're in church, Mark. Can you use that language? Yeah. We need to understand that it's all about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you know what? Some apostles and prophets are weird and freaky. And I want to say clearly, when someone arrives and says, hi, I'm a prophet, I have a little bell in the back of my head here. And it goes, ding, 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 ding. Well, I'm an apostle. Ding, 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 ding. Because apostles and prophets don't come for their own glory, for their own good, for their own puffed upness. There's a new word. Get it into the dictionary. Puffed upness. Yeah, there we go. When they come, they are servants of God, humble leaders with a burning message in their heart and a gift directly from our Father. Okay, so let's go. And this is just to helpfully prove the case. Ephesians 2:19. So what does the so then mean, you are no longer strangers? We need to understand the context. It was grace through faith. Remember when we did that whole thing on Ephesians? We were dead in our sins. And it says in chapter 2, in the beginning about 10, I think it says, And now you have been brought near to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, then it goes on later on and says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. What it was saying here says that, you remember, and there's that amazing piece of passage in there, and it says that the dividing wall between the Jews and the Gentiles has been broken. And we've explained in previous sermons that there was a literal wall that was broken down because Gentiles had to sit on the outside and only the Jews could sit on the inside. And there was an inscription on the wall and said, if you cross this wall, you die. So the Gentiles were very good about it. They didn't cross the wall. But now that Christ has come, the new dispensation has come, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has come, that is broken down. And it says it built on the foundation of the apostles and it's in the Bible. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Jesus Christ, it says, is the cornerstone. And when they would lay the foundation, they would take a cornerstone, they would sit the cornerstone down, and they would say, from this is the point we're going to build, and we will build this building around it. And we know that also in Scripture it says that Jesus has become the capstone. He is not just the beginning, he's also the end. The capstone was the last stone that they fitted in before the building was complete, and you could get the builder's seal of approval and say, this building is now. And it's just like I said the other day, grace for a simple illustration is like a loaf of bread. The beginning and the end and everything in between is not just bread, it's grace. And Jesus is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and he's everything in between. Thank you, thank you. He is it. So let's see what else. Apostles lay foundations. Ephesians 3:4. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery. So now this mystery has been hidden for ages, the word tells us. And now the new apostles, the new post-ascension of prophets and apostles, is being revealed to them to reveal it. Why? Because through the church, it goes on to say. And you know my favorite little word, the manifold wisdom of God. That beautiful array of colored weaving together, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery, so what is the mystery we speak about? Is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And you should all be going, hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Jesus, that you counted us in. We're in. Okay. You're not convinced. Wow. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. He's called to be a servant who lays the foundation of the grace of God, the gospel of grace, and a good foundation so that through the church, not through some were called, some were sent, some just took a microphone and went. Not through, I'll just stay at home and have my own little meeting all by myself, me and the TV and some other preacher. We are called to be a family. We are called into the universal church and the local church. And it's not two that can be separated. You can't be part of one and not part of the other. 1 Corinthians 2:1. Now Corinth, we know, was a wicked city. It was a port city. It was a lot of prostitution and lasciviousness went along. In actual fact, some of the prostitutes there were just called, oh, you're a Corinthian. So that's how they knew them, because they came from the city of Corinth. We think that the city of Corinth, oh, that's the nice place. That's where everything went on. And that's where Paul went and planted a church, started a work there. And he says here, and I, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. We know Paul. Was Paul a smart boy? He was a very learned, very smart dude. He would be top of the one percentile. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Circumcised on the eighth day, he had the right pedigree. He says, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He didn't say I didn't know anything else or I didn't want to know anything else. I wasn't really too keen on how many times you read the scriptures, the Torah. I'm not interested really in how much you pray every day. I'm not really too inanimate whether you prophesy or not. I'm not worried how good your hospitality is to the poor. I want to do nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you and in weakness and in fear and much trembling. This is the great Paul the Apostle. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. All human wisdom and knowledge is doomed to pass away. This is the greatest surpassing knowledge that I speak to you of. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Remember, Jesus came, we said, when he came in on the donkey and they threw the fronds and they shouted Hosanna and put their jackets down for him and their cloaks, whatever. Hail the King! And then he went and did a little bit in the temple. Who is this King? Next day, crucified. Had they known the King of glory was amongst them, they would not have crucified him. He says, I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Foundation laying. I came in weakness and fear and trembling. So can you imagine coming into this Sodom and Gomorrah type city, and he comes in with fear and trembling, and he has this little church that he's planted, and he's speaking life into them and helping them to grow. Foundations. 1 Corinthians 3:1. Infants, no foundations. But our brothers could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I know we're not talking about our church, we're talking about other churches. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Amazing how he throws it out. You're a field and you're also a building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, some things of value, if you build with things of value, Christ-centered, things of good value, or, it says, wood, hay, or straw, things that are not such of good value, each one's work will become manifest for the day, capital D, the day, into the future, judgment day, will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. What is he saying here? He's saying that you are infants, and why, I missed out the verses there, and it goes on to say there, that you are mere infants. Why? Because you still have jealousies and strife and dissension amongst you. I know, not our church, other churches. He says then that people come and they want to build on the foundation I have. He says, and when it's all done, he says, God is going to come and take this fire. Now I just imagine standing at the pearly gate, as it were, with this load of my work that I've done. And I'm holding this and I'm looking, I'm going, wow, look what I built, Jesus. Hello. And the gates open. And you know, like this flame comes out. And I'm like, ooh, where'd that go? I knew I had a big pile when I got here. You know, Chris says he wants to come and sweep it up a little bit for me. He wants to actually like get it there for me. And God says he's going to come and he's going to just, this fire is going to extend. If we built with gold and silver and precious stones, we're going to stand there and the fire's going to go, whoosh, and we'll go, ha, that's cool. And if we built with hay and straw and stubble, we're going to go, Ooh, nothing to carry. The good news is that you'll still enter in, as if one escaping through flames, I think King James Version says. Do you want to just escape through flames? Or when it comes out, you go, ha. And that comes through your obedience to Him. When all is done, He will test us. And when we've done things in His name and in obedience to Him, and we've good and we've offered a cup of water to even those who need a cup of water, or helped the old lady across the street, or me across the street, or anybody helped and got the cat out the tree, or done something good for someone, He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We don't want to arrive at the pearly gates and wait for that thing. I know you all got this picture now of like you're arriving. This, just remember, this is just my little poetic freedom. What's the word? Poetic license. It might be different. Someone else is building upon it. Be careful what you allow your lives to listen to and build on. I'm just going to be straight. You know, I never ever bash other ministers from this pulpit, and I never will. But there is garbage on TV, on Christian channels. Know what you're listening to. And when it sounds garbage, switch it off. Don't see how much garbage you can take in. Because I don't have my little green cloth with me today. I could send you my green cloth and double your salary. And I don't know what God thinks. Well, I probably do, but I don't want to tell you. Philippians 3:18, for many of whom I have often told you, now tell you, even with tears. Paul's saying, I have tears in my eyes. Beaten so many times, shipwrecked so many times, stoned so many times, hungry and cold so many times. But his heart of compassion, he says, I say this to you with tears in my eyes. Build well. Because, and it goes on and he says, Philippians 3, walk because even you with tears, because there are those who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ Jesus. They don't like the message. They don't want to know that there is only one way to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That there is only one way that we can go. They want to build on their own glory. They want to build so their name is lifted high. Foundations. Hebrews 5:12. About this we have much to say. About what? And it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. We just come in and we go out. We come in and we go out. The writer of the Hebrew has the same concept as Paul has, because we're not sure that Paul actually wrote the book to the Hebrews. So he says, you're dull and hard of hearing. You're not progressing. You're not maturing. You're still babes and you still need milk. And we know that it goes on into Hebrews chapter 6 and says, let us set aside the elementary principles of the gospel of the kingdom. And then it listed 5 or 6 of them. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Jesus Christ, I know nothing. I came to you and want to know nothing except Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and you are mere babes in this, and you do not understand the righteousness of the Word. Three foundational points for us to consider. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. No, you cannot distinguish good from evil if you don't know the Word. You might have an epiphany and God download, the Holy Spirit download for you that this is garbage that you're listening to. Don't listen to this. But most times if you don't know the Word, you go, oh, that sounds nice. Oh, that titillates my ears. Oh, that sounds amazing. Really? I can't say it. Be aware of charlatans out there. Hey, says you're dull and hard of hearing. Why? Because our hearts have become hard. Well, I know this stuff. I've heard this before. I know. Well, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. It is your lifestyle in accordance with what you think you've heard all the time. Or are we still behaving like we've never heard the message of the gospel before? Solid food for the mature. So let's have a look here. Three firm foundations of the gospel. The person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The transaction at the cross, what took place at the cross. So we don't understand what took place at the cross. We can get lost also because we don't understand that our sins were forgiven yesterday, today, and forever. We don't understand past, present, and future. We do think that every time we mess up, we've got to go, oh, we've got to repent all over again. And we understand the free gift of His righteousness to us and what that makes us and how we are sons and daughters of the Most High King. Paul spoke about these things, the person of Jesus Christ, what happened at the cross, a clear understanding of that transaction. And we remember when we did the power of the cross and we used all those nice big words, justification, redemption, propitiation, expiation, as we would say in Afrikaans, al die groot woorde, all the big words. And so we need to know what that means and what does that mean and how does that impact my life, that I can live in true liberty and freedom. Because we have a freedom, and within freedom, something is something we just conjure up in our heads. But when we understand liberty, you know, like I told you the story about the sheep and the people in the fields with the fences around them, and the only time they felt at liberty was when they had the rules around them. And when the rules were gone, they didn't know what to do. Because they understood freedom, but they didn't understand liberty. We have been liberated by Him. Secondly, what happened at the cross? Paul says, I've taught you all this. He says to the Galatians, you foolish Galatians, who has come in amongst you and bewitched you? I've already laid the foundation for you, and now you're listening to another thing, and you're building another thing. You've gone, instead of looking what's in the basement, you've gone like foolish Mark, and you've gone to the 23rd floor. And you're going, oh, it's a nice view from up here. I think I use this, and I have. There was a guy called Charles Steinmetz. And he was an engineer, and there was a crack in the building on the second floor. So they called him in. They said to him, how do we fix this thing? You're an engineer. And he said, okay, where's your basement? I said, no, here's the crack here on the second floor. He said, no, I want to see the basement. So he went down into the basement, and he was down there, and he saw in the foundation something was wrong. So he took a chalk mark, and he marked across. He said, that's the problem. They said, oh, how much is the bill? He said, I'll send it to you. So he sent them a bill for $1,000. They said, $1,000? Are you crazy? He said, yeah, $999 to know where to put the chalk mark, $1 for putting the chalk mark in the right place for you. And we need to know the proper foundation without going to the 23rd floor. Thank you. And the third one, righteousness, not self-effort by man, not your obedience to the law. It is a free gift. I've said it times and tell it again, there are two kinds of righteousness. By now you should be able to tell me, self-righteousness and God's righteousness. And when we do stuff in self-righteousness, that's the stuff when you're going to get there and the doors are going to open and you're going to be empty. Ooh, my arms are light now. I don't have anything for the king. His righteousness, the imputed righteousness of God, you'll stand there and you go, it's cool. I'm good, God. How you doing? Enter in, my son. Enter in, my daughter. Hey, you've got to have fun when we preach. So we need to understand the person of Jesus Christ, plus the transaction of the cross, plus the righteousness, brings us into our Sabbath rest. When we understand those foundations, then we're not striving all the time. Then we understand, as we did in Jesus, 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 that He is Lord of the Sabbath. And that it's not a religious thing that, well, you've got to keep the Sabbath. No, every day is the Sabbath in Christ Jesus. He is the Sabbath, so I'm living in the Sabbath. Today we're enjoying our Sabbath together. I know some of you missed that one. You should go and listen to it. Okay, let's move on. Acts 20:24, but I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Galatians 1:6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which tells me that the gospel is a grace message. And we don't want to take the quantum leaps that some do, you know, go from law to licentiousness. We want to walk in the God-given grace and the truth. Colossians 1:6. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it had been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So by now you should be asking, well, Mark, how do we know when the foundations are built? I'm so glad you asked. 2 Timothy 2:19. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Is that pretty clear? He knows who you are. If you said yes to Jesus, if you know Him and you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, He knows you and you know Him. And then He says, and those who name Me as their Lord and Jesus Christ will stop sinning. Will say no to ungodliness. And that's part of what this message of grace helps us to understand. To say no to ungodliness. No to sin. God keeps us. He keeps it. It says here, but God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. And you know, when we're talking about architects and construction and building buildings. When you lay the cement foundation, you don't just like, okay, cool, it's laid, let's go away. And if it's a very, very hot day, those who do construction, what do? You keep the cement wet. And you allow it to mature and harden. So when it's done, it's firm, and it's a firm foundation, and then you can put your building on it. And then the building inspector comes along, and he looks at it, and he does his tests, and he looks at the whole thing, and then he says, yeah, sealed. Very good. You can carry on building now. And so we need to have an understanding that when we do that, that He has sealed it and sealed us with it. He has us in the palm of His hands. Still, it tells us in the Great Commission, lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. It also says that Philippians 3:18, comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What was it? So that you may be mature and come to know the fullness of the Son of God. It's foundational for us. Ephesians 1:5, in love He predestined us to be His sons and daughters by His good will. I am His and He is mine. There's no distance between God and me because I am His and He is mine. What are those little things in the road they have in the road that you've got to slow down to go over? Speed bumps, that's right. So what happens is that we get saved and then we go along and we're going along and our fifth gear. And we get there and we don't see the speed bump, we hit the speed bump. Who's ever done that? Oh, got about 5 honest people in here. Yeah, in my car. Bridget does it in my car, not in her car. And we hit the speed bump and then we go, and we think, wow, what was that all about? And then, you know, and we get all panicky. And sometimes in our spiritual walk, it's just the same. We go along and we're like, out there, darn, I'm saved and I'm Jesus. We hit the speed bump, which means we sin. And then we go, uh-oh, I lost my license now. God doesn't love me anymore. I'm a sinner, and He don't love me anymore. And then we get this into our head, and then we go, no, I can't come to church. I'm just going to stay home and find myself. What? You remember I said in the beginning, strange doctrines and theologies and stuff? That's when you know what you do? It's like you're doing a lobotomy. You've opened up the skull, and the enemy comes, and he starts putting this garbage into your head. No. Don't go to church. They're all going to look at you. You know, sometimes when I start down a road, I know I shouldn't have started there, but now I have to finish it. I just want to ask you a question. What makes you think you're that important and everybody wants to look at you? Oh, Chris thinks it's his good looks. But seriously, well, in worship, I'm just afraid to raise my hands because they're all going to look at me. No, 90% of the people are eyes closed, engaged with God. Let's just get real. Yeah, no. I lost where I was now. We hit bump road. We say, well, I'm going to just stay away from church now. I'm just going to sort myself out. You foolish Galatian. You got yourself into this mess. How do you think you're going to get yourself out of it? The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Come together. Come and say to one another. You know, like when the NFL, when they do well, they go, hey, well done. I was just giving myself a few. Because no one's going amen and hallelujah. Yeah, so I thought I'd just, touchdown. Come on. I'm nearly finished. Not. Where am I? Number one. God knows you are His. You're messing me around here. I am His and He is mine. Number two, anyone who confesses the name of Jesus must turn away from sin. The gospel of grace doesn't say, well, okay, now I'm going to go out and I'm going to sin. No, because then you never got saved if that's the way you think. It means metanoia, change the way you think about things. If you still think, then all you've done is you've come and you've tried to appease the person who keeps saying to you, you should give your life to the Lord. And you've come in, as I've said so many times, you've walked the aisle, you've prayed the prayer, shaken the preacher's hand, never had a change of heart. Because you prayed the prayer doesn't mean you're saved. It's when you have metanoia, Spirit filled you. Ephesians 2, now that we were dead in our trespasses and sin, now we have been made alive. You need to be made alive in Christ Jesus. Change of heart, change of thinking. Bridges told you so many times, I got saved, I went home and I swept the driveway. Changed my thinking. What was I thinking? teaches us to say no to ungodliness. No, I'm not going to sit down with the guys who are smoking dope. I'm not going to go and get my head messed up. I'm not going to go and stand with guys who are robbing a store. No, I'm not going to be disobedient to my parents. No, I'm going to learn to treat my children well and my spouse as well. I'm trying. Yeah, one spouse, other spouse. Left spouse, male spouse, female spouse. Come on, stay with me. Kids in the candy. We should be like kids in the candy store when we get the revelation of the right foundation. It's about Jesus, it's about what He did on the cross, and it's about me understanding my foundation and my righteousness in Him. Not because of what I do, but because of what He did for me. There we go. Now we... Kevin, where's the hanky? Come on. Yeah, you can. Make it my goal to please Him. I am His and He is mine. Jesus revealed. Remember we did this whole thing because it's about, and I've just laid the foundation for today. This is about Jesus, the person of Jesus. I'm not going to go through all that because we've been through it. But it's about the person of Jesus. So what is Jesus to us? And this is where we all get excited because everything is about eternity. We are aliens passing through, headed for our home. We sang it this morning. We're going home. One day He's coming to collect us and we're going to go home. Big concept. He is the eternal, almighty Creator. He created all things. Nothing was created without Him. Think about that. Colossians 1:16. All was created for Him and by Him, or by Him and for Him. In Him, all things hold together. Colossians 1:17. That's the whole thing about laminin. Go and read it, study it, Google it. Go and have a look. It's in the shape of a cross, this molecule that holds our body together. Go figure. Science. And He upholds the universe by His word. Hebrews 1:3. He is our eternal, almighty creator. The devil is not on a par with him. He created the devil. Oh. Lucifer, the angel of light, the worship leader in heaven, got too clever and fell. I saw Satan fall like lightning, says the Bible says. The devil is not on a par with him. Oh, Mark, you don't know how powerful the devil is. I don't care. I know how powerful Jesus is. I know that when my troubles are there, all I have to do is call out to him. What struggle are you having do you think is too big for Jesus? Oh, yeah. He is our eternal, almighty creator. Number two, he is our eternal high priest. By the power of an indestructible life. Hebrews 7:16. You write the scriptures down if you want to go and check them. He has no need to offer a sacrifice for his own sin. He is the once and for all sacrifice. Hebrews 7:27 and 28. He wasn't like the other priests that had to go in and offer an atonement for themselves and for the people. And Jesus went in, he is the sacrifice, the once and for all. That's why we don't do sacrifices anymore, because Jesus came and he took care of it. TCB, taking care of business. Jesus came and took care of business for us. Because he is our eternal high priest. He entered into the perfect tabernacle, not made with man's hands. Now we know Jesus, the fulfillment of the tabernacle. But when Jesus entered into he entered the one in heaven, the perfect tabernacle, the perfect blood, with the perfect sacrifice, no blot or spot or blemish. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, which said his work is done. Hebrews 8:1, 10, 12, 12, 2. He is our eternal high priest. Jesus is our eternal almighty creator. Jesus is our eternal high priest. As our eternal high priest, he also sat down and he sits down with his perfected heavenly body and he intercedes daily for us. I'm not sure about this. The devil. South Africa would say nyaga nyaga. Wants to put nyaga nyaga in your head. Wants to put nonsense and rubbish in your head. The Zulu word. And when he wants to come along and he wants to nyaga nyaga in your head, you just go, Jesus, who's our advocate, he said, looks at the Father, he says, don't worry, Dad, it's paid for. Looks at the devil, stop now. Okay. But we go, sorry, devil, what did you just say? What, Jesus? We need to learn to say, no, Jesus paid it all, it's my Father. Why? Because he is mine and I am his. Because of the transaction of the cross and because I understand my righteousness from him. We're nearly done. Jesus is the eternal sacrifice of eternity. Do you notice everything's eternal? These are not temporary things. For the whole world, not just for believers, the propitiation for the whole world. The propitiation, the anger and the wrath of God has been, past tense, appeased. It doesn't need to be appeased again. And that's why we have faulty thinking, because we've repented of our sins, past, present, and future. And I know some people will fight me on this, but we need to understand, once we have repented of our sins, it's a done deal. Past, present, in future. But what happened if I sin tomorrow? Future. What happens if I sin 3 weeks from now? Future. Once we've repented, because alternatively what we are saying, that every time I sin, Jesus is going to go back to the cross and die for me again, so that my sins can be forgiven. And that's why saying sorry and repentance are not the same. Vastly different. But we've used it, and I spoke last week about dumbing things down. We don't want to talk about demonic activity. Well, that just sounds too weird. Well, there's light and darkness, as I said last week. There's no gray. We don't live in a gray area. We're either for him or we're not for him. He is our eternal sacrifice of atonement. God sent Jesus as proof of his love for us. His sacrifice was made with his perfect and priceless blood without blemish or spot. He is the Savior of the world, our consistent intercessor and representative before God. He opened the curtain. He is the new and living way into God's presence. And that's where John came. And he is the praise singer. He is the door opener. He inaugurated the kingdom of heaven. And when his job was done, he said, I must decrease that he might increase. It wasn't then we take the scripture, well, that means I've got to be this lowly worm. And it doesn't mean anything like that. It means that he realized his job was done now and that he should step aside and let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? Eternal sacrifice. Where am I? I'm nearly done. Jesus is immutably good and faithful. It is impossible for God to be unfaithful to you. Did you hear that? Impossible. Even when we are being faithless, even when we have hit the bump in the road, and we get our brains, we hit the roof of the car, and our brains get a little bit scrambled, and we get all these weird and strange ideas, it is impossible for him to be unfaithful to us. So I read last week, because grace is love from the greater to the lesser, and there's nothing we have to do to earn it, to give it back. We can't do anything. We just got to go and say, here I am, Lord. Creation will change, but not Jesus. Psalm 102:27, Malachi 3:6. All good gifts come from the Father who has no shadow of variation due to change. He does not change. He is not interchangeable. He does not change. There is no shadow of turning on it because he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He says, I will be faithful to you today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I am faithful to you because your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. All we have to do is accept the amazing gift of his righteousness. Jesus is faithful even... Okay, we already said that. So the question is, the gospel of grace will stir up faith in people because you come into a new liberty. You come and you walk into that field and you realize there are no fences around you, but you still have the liberty because you understand the person of Jesus. You understand the transaction that took place at the cross. You understand your gift of righteousness, a free gift of... You know what free means? Free! You know what it means in Afrikaans? Free! You know what it means in Greek? Free! You know what it means in Italian? Free! You know what it means in German? Free! You know what it means in Dutch? Free! Any nationality here I missed out? Irish! What does it mean in Irish? Free! What does it mean in Sri Lankan? Free! What does it mean in Indian? Free! In Guyana, free. Anybody else? China, free. Zanzibar. Uganda, free. It's free. When we understand grace, have you ever, in just last illustration, have you ever in your life been in a place or in a position where, and it might just be a school teacher, hopefully it's your parents, but that you have a revelation of something in your heart and all you ever want to do is please that person. You don't want to do anything that would upset them. Not because you're afraid of them, not because they're going to beat you, but because you have such a deep love and a compassion and a revelation that, oh man, I'll do anything for you. I'll do my homework. I'll be on time. I will, whatever the case. That's in the natural. In the spiritual, when you have a revelation of the gospel of grace, You will not abuse it. You will not tread on it. You will not use it as a free pass. You'll want to say no to sin, no to ungodliness, no to disobedience, no to rebellion, no to anything that will impinge upon your relationship that you think with Jesus Christ. That's what grace will do for you. Some of you have lived with the sword of the Damocles on your head because you live in a world of sin consciousness versus a sin a mindset of righteousness. So you had the sword of Damocles hanging over your head. Well, if I do something wrong, then God's going to beat me. He's going to come down hard on me. And I won't get that increase. And I'm going to lose money. And if I don't do this, and if I don't sing loud enough in church, then God's going to be... And you've said, no matter how hard I try, I just can't get this right. And you know what? You're right. Because that's law thinking. That's legalistic thinking. You cannot get it right. The law was given to us to be our schoolmaster. And I said last week, remember? How many verses did you read today? 10. Could have read one more. Could have read one more. How long did you pray? 10 minutes. Oh, you could have prayed one more minute. That's law. You will never get it right. But when we come into the liberty of this gospel of grace, you realize that we've been like, you know, cats or dogs. You see them chase their little tails. And they don't get it. They just keep running around. And of course, what do? We sit and laugh. And I think when the devil sees us in a tailspin, that's what he does. He sits down and laughs. He says, check these Christians that are chickens with their heads chopped off, chasing their tail. Until we come and see, I must know Jesus is a person, a relationship with Him. When we understand that, when we understand the transaction at the cross, when we understand my free gift of righteousness, then I rest. Because it's not by my effort. It's by the effort that Jesus put into it for me. All I have to do is have my Sabbath rest in Him. Today it's offered to you. Today it's offered to you. That rest. We know that Jesus is immutably good and faithful. Jesus is our eternal sacrifice of atonement. Jesus is an eternal high priest. Jesus is eternal, mighty creator God. And He offers it to you today. If you will stop chasing your tail, if you will just come under His armor, if you come under the shadows of His wing, let's just stand together. Sometimes it's okay to preach a little bit long. Father, we come to You this morning, Lord. We lift ourselves to You. Father, we ask by Your Spirit You would give us a deeper revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. That we would see Him in all these eternals, atonement, sacrifice, high priest, immutably good and faithful. Lord God, we stand this morning, Lord God, and we say, open our eyes, open our spiritual eyes to see, we said this morning, we sang it, to see the beautiful face of Jesus. Lord God, we come to You with humble hearts, broken and contrite. Father, we want to walk in the new dispensation. We want to walk in the new covenant. We set aside the old. We set aside legalistic thinking. Lord God, we walk into the liberty of the freedom of Your Son, Jesus. If there's anybody here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, then just pray this prayer. Father, I come to You in the name of Your Son, Jesus. And Lord God, I repent of all my sins. I acknowledge that You are Jesus Christ, Son of God. And that by dying on the cross and shedding Your blood for me, You have saved me. Father, let me have a revelation of You. Let me have a relationship with You, a living relationship with You, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.